Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Targeted Talks. I'm your host, Nicole Tucker. In this episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Federico Alboretch, an oncologist and hematologist at Miami Cancer Institute, about treating small cell lung cancer, including true stories from patients Alboretch recently treated. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Alboretch. I was hoping we can start with discussing testing for small cell lung cancer. So what is standard practice on testing for a patient with small cell lung cancer being cared for at Miami Cancer Institute right now?
Well, thank you very much for this great invitation. It's a pleasure to be talking to you today. Well, small cell lung cancer is a highly aggressive neuroendocrine carcinoma, accounting for more or less 15% of all lung cancers that we see at the Miami Cancer Institute. Almost all patients with this type of cancer have a history of smoking, either as current smoking or former smokers. Clinical characteristics of small cell lung cancer that distinguish from non-small cell lung cancers are rapid tumor growth and early metastasis formation. So it has actually worse prognosis. Small cell lung cancer is categorized in actually two stages, limited stage and extensive stage. The limited stage is defined when the radiation oncologist could encompass all the disease sites on one treatment field. At the Miami Cancer Institute, our approach after histologic confirmation of small cell lung cancer is to complete the staging process. This includes obtaining a CT scan of the chest, abdomen, and pelvis with IV contrast, or better, a PET scan. We also prioritize the brain MRI to detect early asymptomatic brain metastasis, or a CT scan if brain MRI is not done, but finding what's going on in the brain is very important. In patients that presents with pleural effusion and limited stage small cell lung cancer, we always conduct a thoracentesis to ensure accurate determination of the disease extension. To enable a rapid initiation to systemic therapy, we ask our skilled thoracic surgeons to promptly place a portacath. So given that the small cell carcinoma is a systemic disease, early initiation of systemic therapy holds an immense importance. So we strongly emphasize the need to avoid any delays in systemic therapy, for example, to accommodate the start of radiation therapy. So we ideally start the first cycle of chemotherapy as soon as possible. However, we have to realize that we cannot delay radiation therapy too much. Multiple studies have shown that early concurrent chemo radiation therapy offers significant survival benefits compared to delaying the start of radiation therapy. In small cell lung cancer, there are two crucial factors that significantly impact the treatment outcomes. One is the timely initiation of systemic chemotherapy, and the second is the prompt completion of radiation therapy. So these two factors act as risk modifiers, emphasizing the importance in achieving a favorable result. We have, at Miami Cancer Institute, a protocol that prioritizes the initiation of treatment for hospitalized patients. Under this protocol, the patients that are hospitalized will start cycle number one as soon as the diagnosis is made in the hospital, even before the discharge, and even prior they get a radiation oncology appointment or a radiation oncology consultation. So that is the first, our approach at the Miami Cancer Institute.
Thank you, Dr. Alboretch. Can you share a story of a difficult small cell lung cancer case that you've had?
I encounter a case involving a 67-year-old heavy smoker, still actively smoking at the time of diagnosis. The patient presented with a rapidly progressing small cell lung cancer, exhibiting extensive mediastinal involvement, liver metastasis, and pulmonary metastasis, as confirmed by the staging PET scan. A brain MRI did not reveal any metastasis. So apart from her hypercholesterolemia and hypertension, the patient has had no significant other comorbidities. Laboratories showed a normal CBC, chemistries, but a high LDH level. Clinically, the patient experienced dyspnea, significant cough, desaturation, and chest wall pains. Her performance status was assessed as 2. And it is, you know, in our mind, and in my perception, that is essential to differentiate whether the patient's compromised performance status is attributed to the disease itself or to the comorbidities. So to expedite the initiation of systemic therapy, a thoracic surgeon promptly inserted a portacath. So I made a decision to start this patient rapidly on carboplatin and etoposide in combination with immunotherapy, in this case, atezolizumab. Additionally, for this case, I gave trilaciclib to protect her bone marrow. Thankfully, the patient responded remarkably well and experienced a rapid alleviation of her cough, her shortness of breath, with a complete resolution of her chest pains and just after the first and after the second cycle. So after the cycle number one, her oxygen saturation levels improved, her shortness of breath improved, and she was able to her cough completely resolved. So she was able to completely undergo to her through her 4 cycles of chemotherapy without really problems. So that is a case when, as you ask, a difficult case when a patient presents with a lot of disease and her daily activities are being affected, but not because the patient has comorbidities, but is because of the cancer. Therefore, this is a type of patient that you can treat aggressively. And now with the addition of immunotherapy, that made a huge difference. And the patient is doing well and has improved completely to a performance status of 0. So that's very good.
Thank you for sharing, Dr. Albrecht. That does sound like a very difficult case. So what treatment options did you consider for this patient? And what was your treatment decision?
I wanted to highlight the significant progress made in the treatment of small cell lung cancer with the incorporation of immunotherapy. You know, in this case, I used atezolizumab. This development, which is the addition of immunotherapy to primary chemotherapy, represents the first major advancement in the management of this disease in the last 30 years, since the 90s. So this is huge. This is very important. As you know, small cell lung cancer is an aggressive and rapidly progressing malignancy. So while typically respond to initial chemotherapy, it often recur and in a matter of months, resulting in a poor prognosis. So two crucial phase 3 trials have been conducted in recent years. The first one is called the IMpower 133, which was initially published in the New England Journal of Medicine in 2018 and subsequently updated and published in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. This study demonstrated that adding a PD-L1 monoclonal antibody to the standard treatment of carboplatin and etoposide improved survival. So furthermore, patients were able to continue receiving this immunotherapy as maintenance treatment until disease progression. The second study, known as the Caspian trial, investigated the use of durvalumab, another PD-L1 monoclonal antibody, in combination with carboplatin or cisplatin and etoposide. It was first published in The Lancet in 2019, and it also received recent updates. So once again, Both trials showed an improvement in survival rates for the first time in more than 20 years. So both of these agents have now been approved by the FDA and have become the standard of care of patients for patients with extensive disease, small cell lung cancer. So currently, research is underway to determine whether similar benefits can be achieved in patients with limited disease, small cell lung cancer. So talking about this question, I mean, if there is any other thing that I wanted to do, I think patients with small cell lung cancer should all receive chemotherapy and immunotherapy from the get-go, unless there is any contraindication. And eventually, in some particular cases, we can add radiation therapy as an adjunct or radiation therapy to even the brain. We haven't talked, because I'm a medical oncologist, about the radiation therapy in small cell lung cancer, but radiation therapy plays an important role. And if a patient has small cell lung cancer metastasis to the brain, radiation therapy will be a very important modality.
We'll be right back after this message.
Hi, this is Dr. Tara Graff of Mission Cancer and Blood in Des Moines, Iowa. I am a proud 2023 recipient of the Oncology Icons Award from Targeted Oncology. Learn more about my clinical journey and plans to further improve the field on Targeted Oncology website.
We're back with Dr. Federico Alberich talking about small cell lung cancer treatment, including true stories about patients treated at Miami Cancer Institute. So now, can you share a story of a patient who experienced an adverse event from a small cell lung cancer treatment? How did you work with other disciplines to mitigate this toxicity?
Well, I am currently treating a 65 years old patient who was diagnosed with extensive disease small cell lung cancer. So after completing four cycles of carboplatin, etoposide, and atezolizumab, the patient transitioned to maintenance atezolizumab. During the maintenance phase, she developed an immune-related dermatitis, primarily affecting her hands and palms. Patients suffered from itching and significant pain. Additionally, she experienced a worsening shortness of breath and cough. A CT scan of the chest revealed evidence of pneumonitis. So I collaborated closely with our dermatology oncology service that we have at Miami Cancer Institute to promptly see and address the patient's condition. The derm team initiated topical steroids and antibiotics, while our group of experienced pulmonologists evaluated her for immune-related pneumonitis. With the addition of oral steroids, her condition improved rapidly. She became asymptomatic. Her rash and her dermatitis almost improved. So once both side effects or immune-related side effects have resolved, the patient was able to resume therapy with continued tolerance. So it is important to note that patients who developed an immune-related side effect often exhibits a robust immune response against the cancer cells and tend to fare better in the long run. Therefore, we consider these side effects to be acceptable in the context of achieving an effective immune activation against cancer cells.
So what overall advice do you have for your peers on treating a patient with small cell lung cancer now or in the future?
Looking forward.
Well, the most and crucial advice I have for my colleagues treating patients with small cell lung cancer is to recognize that small cell lung cancer is a systemic disease. And even in cases of limited stage, therefore, it is imperative to initiate systemic therapy promptly. That means as soon as possible, without any delays. So avoid postponing chemotherapy, systemic chemotherapy, to accommodate radiation therapy schedule. Instead, begin chemotherapy, and you can with cycle number one, and then eventually give time for the radiation oncologist to start readily for cycle number two. The other important advice is do not delay the start of radiation therapy neither, because both treatments in limited disease small cell lung cancer are important, and as I said, are important risk modifiers. So the sooner you do that, the better the patient's outcome. The other recommendation is maintain an open and fluid communication with the radiation oncologist, because radiation therapy plays a vital role in the treatment of limited disease lung cancer. So rigorous implementation of the radiation therapy can significantly impact on the outcomes of this disease. For patients with limited disease, small cell lung cancer has a curative intent. That means we're trying to cure these patients. And in the case of extensive small cell lung cancer, incorporating now immunotherapy is or should be standard of care. It is crucial to use immunotherapy in every single patient with extensive disease, unless there is a contraindication. So it is essential to be vigilant of any immune-related side effects, because early intervention can prevent severe complications. Additionally, I would like to tell my and remind my colleagues to stay informed about ongoing trials in this field, because numerous advancements are being made, and I am confident that we will continue to see improvement in outcomes in this tough disease.